At this time, the junior worship is excused to go with Marcus. You guys don't have too much fun, all right? I've spoken with Jenny. If anyone wants to have a great time and to be able to share with some youth and the gospel and some teachings, junior worship is a place to go. I'll tell you, those guys are a lot of fun to be with and to be able to share the word. Well, today, I'd like to talk about how to have a happier new year. Many of us said, Happy New Year to our wives, to our family, and what have you. But really, what were we saying? I mean, how do you have a happy new year? I'd like to give you some advice today, and I'm going to start off with a man named Pete. He was going to a New Year's Eve party, and one of his friends, he goes, "Hey, Ken, can you give me a cigarette?" Ken looked at him and said, "I thought you were going to quit." He goes, "Well, I'm in phase one." "Well, what do you mean, phase one?" "Well, phase one is I quit buying them." He grinned jokingly as he reached for the cigarette. You see, we all sometimes have phases. We say we're going to do something and what have you, but we really don't. What are the top 10 resolutions that were mentioned? Number one, spend more time with family and friends. Number two, become fit. In other words, fit in time to be able to exercise, which then brings to number three, tame the bulge. Quit smoking. Let's enjoy life more. Let's quit drinking. I want to get out of debt. Well, that's not going to come overnight. Let's learn something new. Some people say, "Well, hey, I haven't a hard enough time to remember what I have to remember, let alone learn something new." Help others. That is something in which case that I think oftentimes we forget. Another one is, number 10, get organized. Some people might say, "Hey, I haven't been organized all my life. Why worry about it now?" A preacher was asked in the middle of the week, "Hey, what's your sermon going to be on?" He answered back, "You know what? I really don't know yet. I got to wait for the mood to hit me before I know what to preach." You see, that's kind of poor planning. I've heard it said, and I almost don't like this, if we fail to plan, we're planning to fail. How many's heard that? Yes. And sometimes I fail to plan. Did you notice on those top 10 resolutions that there was just nothing said about spiritual improvement, or that God was even included in any of them? You see, that's the way it is with most people. They don't include God or Christ in the picture of their lives. Let me suggest to you that the Lord should be included in every aspect of our lives, should be included in our marriage, our family, our children, at work, and at our leisure and pleasure. Every year, Americans spend over $50 billion on the lottery. They spend that money in hopes that winning the lottery, that they are going to improve themselves. There are some that actually win the lottery. But even those that find themselves with that extra cash and that money, they find that the joy that they have is just a mere vapor. There's been statements said that if I knew what it was going to do to my family, I would have ripped the ticket up and thrown it away. Divorce is so much higher on those families that have won the lottery than those that have not. You see, there's something far better, far bigger, much richer than winning the lottery. And that is for us in being the winner in the eyes of our God this new year. Would you please bow with me? Father in heaven, as we come before you today, Lord, I pray that each one of us may involve you, your Son, your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. Lord, I just pray that allow us to look to you for us to be able to have a happy new year, a blessed new year. Lord, this I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the first? The first thing that we should do to have a more blessed or happy new year. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We need to be careful. We Christians, we need to be careful. It says in verse 15, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to be careful in living. Be careful in the way you live. Be careful, be wise. Be careful with our time, which is really God's time. We need not to contribute to evil. We need to seek the Lord's will in all things, every day, every way. There's an illustration in this gentleman Steve Rose catalog said, self-induced injuries. It reads something like a Spanish Inquisition handbook. This gentleman, if you think that you're accident prone, just listen. He fractured his skull. He had torn rotator cuff. He shattered his fingers many times. He had two broken wrists. He fractured his elbows. He's torn muscles. He had sulfuric acid burns. He was stabbed. He had multiple broken noses. Looks like he was putting it where he shouldn't have been. And he had a ruptured tendon on his ankle. He said, you know, I didn't do anything when I ruptured my tendon in my ankle. All I was doing was hurriedly walking around the corner, and it felt as though someone hit me in the ankle with a baseball bat. Hurry, worry, multitasking, stress. You might call these the four horsemen of an accident-prone individual. Stress. Anybody have any stress? Stress is a huge factor when it comes to accidents. In fact, it was recently linked by a study done by the University of Minnesota that since 9/11, stress was one of the main factors in accidents causing fatalities. Brothers and sisters, we're all vulnerable when it comes to accidents, but obviously some people are a little bit more prone to it than others. One of the things that we can try to get realize and help us to be safer, don't hurry. Let us put the worries on the Lord. And that multitasking that everybody thinks that they want to be better at, let's do one thing good at a time. Stress. Stress leads to accidents. They say also stress leads to poor health. Anybody have any health conditions? We need to allow the Lord to have our stress. And I say that because I have a hard time giving him my stress. The same is true in our spiritual realm, if we are not properly focused on life, we will suffer for it. And most of the time, we are far too worldly. We are far too interested and focused on material things than we are focused on spiritual things. We need to be honest about it. We are not as spiritually minded as we really should be. We are far more earthly and worldly minded. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, tells us what we should be doing and what we should be focusing on. Verse 1, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If you can remember back a few years, Toyota had a recall on their automobiles. They recalled them because the gas pedal could get stuck under the floor mats. And they found several of these Toyota cars in buildings, going across streets, what have you. They were recalled because there was something that was faulty. Perhaps I wonder if we also could use a recall. You know, because we don't always function properly. Sometimes we even get out of hand. Sometimes we even do some things that might be a little crazy. No matter how good we are, sometimes we mess up. We need to be more careful and use our time more wisely for Christ. Someone once said that as they were driving a delivery truck for a computer store, while I was driving to deliver this computer, I turned down the side road. The side road said, turn around. Road blocked ahead. Thinking that, that means someone else, not me, I continued on. And sure enough, there was a tree across the road. And also, it was very hard to turn around. So as the person got the truck turned around and he was going back, he saw another sign. It said, I told you so. Well, you know what? God tells us so too. And when he tells us so, it's going to be a lot worse than just a sign. We need to be careful the way we live. We need to use our time for the Lord. We need to seek the Lord in our life. We need to serve him no matter what else we do. Which leads me to the second way that we can have a happier life this new year, is for us to be thoughtful. In verse 18, it tells us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with spirit. Be thoughtful of others. You know, that's always good advice. But here we are to be thoughtful of God's spirit who lives within us. From an unknown source, it comes an article that was titled, How to Be Miserable. Everybody, probably it's not a bestseller, but listen to this. And sometimes I think we might fall into this. How to be miserable. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous. Be envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to the favors that you have shown them. Never forget a service that you did for anyone. Shirk your duties if you can, and do as little as possible for others. Are we ever guilty of any of those? At times, I think we are. We all like to be appreciated for the good things we do for people. However, we can get caught up in ourselves. If we're not careful, we can become too self-focused and forget about others. When Roy Delmont was a chaplain at the Pine College in Georgia, he preached the shortest sermon in college history. I bet you guys would like me to use this one next week. However, he did have quite a long topic on it. The topic was, what does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what's in religion for me? The complete content of the sermon was one word. Are you thinking of a word? One word. The answer was nothing. Nothing. He later explained that the one sermon was meant for people who were brought up in the gimme, gimme, gimme gospel. When asked how long it took him to prepare for this, he said it took him 20 years. Many people are only interested in what they can get, not what they owe the Lord, or not what they can give to others. I'm reminded of several key scriptures in which should help us in our thinking of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. In Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, it tells us, teacher, what is the greatest commandment of law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. These two commandments are the greatest. If we love God first, and then if we love our fellow brothers and sisters, human beings, we won't go wrong. Verse 18, once again, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being self-centered, we should be Spirit-centered. We should think more of Him than we do about ourselves. Be more spiritually minded than worldly or fleshly minded. If we'll set our minds on Scripture, prayer, praising, and serving others, we will have a much happier new year. Number three, for us to have a happier new year, we need to be thankful. In verse 19, it tells us, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful in Christ. Living a grateful life will keep you on the straight and narrow. People who are not aware of their blessings, they're not thankful. Just think about it. Instead, they are always looking for more. Nearly 70% in the Associated Press poll, they were asked the question, do you think people are ruder now than they were 20 or 30 years ago? The answer was yes. 93% said. And 93% also said, whose fault was it? He said the parents of those children being raised. Question is, are we rude? I hope not. I hope that we are quick to be polite in our actions and our speech. Sometimes I forget to say thank you or you're welcome. And I beat myself up about it sometimes afterwards, thinking about it. For I say, shame on me for forgetting to be that way and being unpolite. What about being rude to God? Can we be rude to God? Would we ever be rude to God? Have you ever failed to express proper thanks or gratitude to Him? To whom we owe our greatest thanks and praise? There was a 5-year-old boy that prayed for a meal. And he bowed his head and he said, "Dear God, thank you for these pancakes." When he concluded, his parents go, "Johnny, why did you pray for pancakes when we're having chicken?" And he said, "I was just checking to see if God was paying attention or not." You see, I believe that God does pay attention. He pays attention when we pray. He pays attention when we don't pray. He pays attention when we praise Him. And He also pays attention when we don't. In Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Dr. Dale Robbins writes, "I used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make the situation any better. Matter of fact, it amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and it can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. In Psalm 77, verse 3, it says, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Philippians 2:13 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in the crooked and depraved generation in which we shine like stars in the universe." I know that for all of you that have worked, all of you that perhaps have family members, it's sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard not to complain. But we have to remember, what can complaining get us? Complaining, at the most, can make people look at us thinking, what a whiner, what a complainer. You see, if we are positive, if we're thankful, we're a great witness in this dark world. We will only shine if we truly are thankful. Our light shines for the Lord when we are thankful, when we live it and we express it. I'd much rather be around someone or hear someone say, "Bless the Lord," than saying, I just really, you know what I mean. Or perhaps someone who says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that blessing." In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I'm convinced that a grateful person, a thankful person, will live a much better and thankful life and will be blessed with a better life. Do you want a better life this new year? Be polite to those around you. Be polite to God. Be quick to praise Him. Thank Him in every little blessing that you receive. And I want to thank the Lord right now for being able to have the opportunity to come and to preach to you today. Because, you know, I work for the communication company. And when that wind was blowing and my electricity went out last night, I thought for sure that there was going to be a stress factor, that I was not going to be able to be here, that I was going to have to go and put generators around to supply power. But the Lord through his power, he allowed me to be able to be here with you today. Someone said last year, when they called their parents to wish them a happy new year, they asked their dad, "Hey dad, what's your new year's resolution?" He said, "My new year's resolution is to make your mother the happiest woman in the world." And when he hung up and gave the phone to his wife, she asked her mother, "What's your resolution, Mom?" And she said, "My resolution is to make sure your dad keeps his." You know, God would certainly like for us to keep his resolution. He knows that that's the way for us to be truly blessed. When we walk with the Lord, doing things his way, we will be blessed. We need to be careful. We need to be thoughtful. And we need to be thankful. As a praise team comes forward, we need to think about these things. So many times when we go into the new year, we make resolutions, and we make resolutions based on worldly and fleshly things. Allow us to make our resolutions based upon Christ, based upon his Spirit, based upon what he has done for us. Would you please rise as we are about to sing a song in which gives you an opportunity to give your life over to him, to join the church, to become a part of this family.